Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it says schedule show.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Yeah. And I enter it in, and it, I've got the capital K, capital V, Kate V, and then I go four water doggies. And it just brings it right back to that same page. Doesn't take me to the switchboard. You told me something to do before, and I can't remember what it is to save my life. Okay, I'm going. I went back to that main page where it's got me in there as Dr. K. It says featured internet radio, upcoming live online radio shows. It says Blog Talk Radio, but it doesn't. It's. I don't see any. I don't see that. Okay, now when I went over that, it brought up my BTR episodes. It says episodes. And that came up my account. My switchboard, and it took me back to the dog-in login page again. Yeah, but how am I going to unmute? I opened a new window here. I closed the whole thing. Okay. It says on air. And okay, I'm on the show page at this point because I'm in Dr. Kate, so I need to go sign in, right? Okay, here's the sign-in page. I'm going to sign in as Kate B. And I'm putting in four water doggies. Okay, now do I go up here to the drop down and hit switchboard, or do I go someplace else? Hmm. This is exactly what I did before, but it seems to be opening it. Guess what? I got three lines here. Let's see. Well, let me... Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why it's blinking around. I mean, it's not letting me... let's see. Start chat session. I'll do that. Please wait while we create your chat room. Oh, great. It took me to a chat window instead of... Okay, I'm back over here. Why won't it stay over the thing for caller muted? Okay, I don't know if I just made myself live or somebody else live. Well, who can hear me is a question. Hello, I hear somebody. Everybody's got an open mic here.
I'm here. I'm ready to go, Terry, anytime you are.
Well, good. Are you on a different number than you usually call in on?
No.
Well, that's interesting. I don't know if we're live or not.
Terry, it's Dwayne, if you can hear me.
I do hear you, Dwayne.
Okay, you're live then.
Yeah, I'm live.
I'm listening to technical difficulties. I'll step down. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay, Dwayne. Hang in here with us. Dr. Kate was late getting home, and so I tried to get in, and the system wouldn't let me in to get logged in. So I'm assuming we're maybe live. Let's see if I can see anybody in chat over here and. I'm going to go back over to a different window and see if I can get my I need to be able to see the chat board and get feedback to see if people can hear us at this point. Well, Red, how about you open us up with a prayer?
I can do that. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing how insignificant and how we are so dependent upon you and the Holy Spirit to guide us, knowing that our efforts are not going to amount to a great deal unless we have you giving us the inspiration and the words to speak. Help us to know what is truth and that which is false. Help us to be able to recognize the difference. And, of course, we know that you told us if any man lack wisdom, you would, if we ask of you, you would give it to us all very liberally. And, of course, we're in that situation tonight where we're going to need your wisdom, your help, and help us to conduct this program as you would have it conducted. We need your help, and we're not a bit timid about asking for your help because we know our limitations, and we know the power of an almighty God, and that's what we're calling upon, and that's what we're dependent upon. As we commence this program tonight, we thank you now in Christ's name for this privilege that we have of speaking to our fellow Americans over the air. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Red. Well, Red, you had something on your mind that we were talking about earlier today about some of the issues that are going on with the Tea Parties and how some people are getting pretty frustrated, and perhaps you can start out our discussion tonight regarding what we talked about earlier.
Well, you know, I'm getting a lot of different kind of feedback from the Tea Party patriots across the country, and some of it is you know, exciting, but then there's a lot of it that causes a great deal of concern for me, because if we look back, and I'm going to lean on Terry here. Terry, if you look back 7 or 8 years, how would you function if all of a sudden you found yourself in a Tea Party situation back then? If you had become alarmed and concerned and joined a Tea Party, how much information would you actually have at your fingertips? And in the back of your mind, that would help us in the situation that we're in. The public school education system has been so successful in dumbing us down that everybody is really they're upset, they're frightened, you know, they're being jerked around and beat up by the economy and one thing another, and there's a lot of concern out there, a lot of concern, a lot more than what we think probably. And these people, they need all the help we can, you know, we can try to help them, but I'm not that sure that at this point they're ready to be helped. What has happened is that so many of the Tea Parties have been infiltrated by opportunists, political opportunists, and I just had a letter from a gentleman yesterday that's a Tea Party member, and he said that they had gone to another town to a larger Tea Party meeting, and he said all they found was a bunch of old Republicans that were trying to take over the Tea Party movement, and he said they were warmongers, they want more wars and all this kind of thing, and he was very discouraged, and he gave me a phone number when he wrote, and I called him and talked to him on the phone. And it was kind of discouraging, because it was discouraging for him. He himself seemed to be pretty well informed, very well informed, I'll tell you. But I don't think that too many people were probably listening to what he had to say. And that's kind of frightening. And, of course, I sent that email to you, the prognostications of Walter Williams about the election in 2012. I think I will go and have my missus download that and give me a hard copy, because I think there's a lot that we can discuss this, and he doesn't mention Tea Parties. He's not talking about Tea Parties, but he's always been a realist. A lot of people out there know who Dr. Walter Williams is. He's a colored man. He's an economist. He's a university professor, and he's always been a realist. I've been listening to him and reading his material for years. And He's just a very, very, very conservative person, and I can assure you, he's not an admirer of that other black fellow that we've got that's getting so much attention, and has gotten so much attention. And so this thing that he wrote has to do with Obama and his reelection potential for 212. And I'm sure this will kind of frighten people. And so I'll let you pick it up from there. I'm going to go see if my missus will download that for me so that I've got a hard copy in my hand as we discuss this. So I'll give it over to you. Are you there? Yeah, Terry.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, not as clear and loud as clear as you should be.
Well, I'm called in as host, and I'm not.
Yeah,
sure
you're fading out on me.
Well, Dwayne, can you hear me?
No,
yeah.
I
can hear you, and your voice is a lot quieter than Red's.
You're fading out on me.
Well, I'm not sure what I can do about that.
Red's coming loud and clear, but yours is sort of like your volume would be down. Nothing disastrous, not overmodulated, and the volume's just real low.
Well, I don't know that I can control the mic on here. Let's see if I can get back over to the switchboard and figure it out. Can you hear me at all, Dwayne?
Yeah, you're just at about 30% of what Red's volume is.
Well, that's interesting. Let's see if there's something I can do. I don't think there's anything I can do on the switchboard that would increase my volume, other than just to speak up. I haven't adjusted my mic down, so it should be like it normally is. Dwayne, can you hear me good enough? You think most of the folks out there would be able to hear me?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's probably going to have to do, I guess, that's all.
All right, well, Red, go ahead and print out your hard copy of that Walter Williams deal. And we'll keep things moving here until you're back with us.
I'm just getting a hold of my wife. Get me a hard copy of that Walter Williams thing, will you please? I'm totally dependent upon my wife to run the computer and do what I would like to do, I guess, what I should do. But I've got enough on my mind without fighting with a computer. So she'll do that for me here. She's a committed wife. She's committed to be a helpmate.
I'm just surprised she hasn't committed you.
Yeah. Well, we've got our 59th anniversary coming up here in a week or so, and about 2 weeks, I guess it is. And I knew I had a keeper right from the beginning. And so this is the way God wanted it to be. And I have no complaints with what God had in mind. So anyway, she'll be here with that hard copy shortly. But you've got a copy there. You've got it right in front of you on the computer. Can you tell the people what this is all about?
I certainly can. Dr. Williams predicted that Obama cannot lose the 2012 election. He says, in addition to the voting bloc he's mentioned to us, there's another huge group, the nearly one half of all adults do not pay any taxes. And in fact, most of them receive money from the government. These people do not want to shake the boat, to do anything to stop the flow of taxpayer money to themselves. Basically, what he's describing here is what I understand to be a dualocracy, and that is where the slaves, the serfs, have so many benefits that they essentially rule, even though it's like an oligarchy, or you know, the ruling class, the elite, really are the ones in charge. They give so much benefit to the slaves that those slaves keep voting them in, and or their person in. And so Dr. Williams' prediction, he says, maybe you have read some newspaper articles written by Williams, a conservative economist who happens to be black. He's taught at several universities, and he's currently teaching at George Mason University. And it says, can President Obama be defeated in 2012? And he answers that, no, he can't. Says, I am going to record as saying that President Barack Obama will win a second term. The media won't tell you this because a good election campaign means hundreds of millions, or in Obama's case, billions of dollars to them in advertising. So, you know, and that's not the only reason the media is going to support him. I mean, they'd lose their jobs if they didn't, because he's a fall guy for all these elite. But he goes on to say, but the truth is, there simply are no conditions under which Barack Obama can be defeated in 2012. Says the quality of the Republican candidates doesn't matter. Obama gets reelected. 9% unemployment. No problem. Obama will win. He says gas prices moving toward $5 a gallon. He still wins. The economy soars or goes into the gutter. Obama still wins. War in the Middle East, he wins a second term. America's role as leading superpower disappears. Hurrah for Barack Obama. The U.S. government rushes toward bankruptcy. The dollar continues to sink on world markets, and the price of daily goods and services soar due to inflation fueled by Obama's extraordinary deficit spending. He says Obama wins handily. He says, you are crazy, Williams. Don't you understand how volatile politics can be when overall economic, government, and world conditions are declining? He says, sure I do. And that's why I know Obama will win. The American people are notoriously ignorant of economics. And economics is the key to why Obama should be defeated. Even when Obama's policies lead the nation to final ruin, the majority of the American people are going to believe the bait and switch tactics Obama and his supporters in the media will use to explain why it isn't his fault. After all, things were much worse than understood when he took office. Obama's reelection is really a very, very simple math problem. Consider the following, Williams says. Blacks will vote for Obama blindly. They did last time anyway. That was my comment, not his. Period. Doesn't matter what he does. It's a race thing. He's one of us, Williams says. College-educated women will vote for Obama. Though they will be offended by this, they swoon at his oratory. It's really not more complex than that. Says liberals will vote for Obama. He is their great hope. Democrats will vote for Obama. He is the leader of their party, and his coattails will carry them to victory nationwide. Hispanics will vote for Obama. He is the path to citizenship. For those who are illegal and Hispanic leaders recognize the political clout they carry in the Democratic Party. Union members will vote overwhelmingly for Obama. He is their key to money and power in business, state and local politics. Now, that's one point that he makes that I agree with over all the others. Number 7, he says, big business will support Obama. They already have. He has almost $1 billion in his reelection purse, gained largely from his connections with big business, and is gaining more every day. Big business loves Obama because he gives them access to taxpayer money so long as they support his social and political agenda. I'll add to that that what he's really talking about here are the international corporations, because, you know, they're the ones that are in control and they're the ones that are too big to fail. The media love him. They may attack the people who work for him, but they love him. After all, to not love him would be racist. Number nine, he says most other minorities and special interest groups will vote for him. Oddly, the overwhelming majority of Jews and Muslims will support him because they won't vote Republican. American Indians will support him. Obviously, homosexuals tend to vote Democratic. And lastly, number 10, he says approximately half of independents will vote for Obama, and he doesn't need anywhere near that number because he has all the groups previously mentioned. The president will win an overwhelming victory in 2012. So, Red, what do you have to say about those 10 points? I think some of those have been sliding a little bit.
As I said, Walter Williams has always been a realist. He tries to look at things the way they are and size them up and he's looking for reality. What's the reality? And when you read that list, it helps us so that we can recognize that there is a tremendous number of portions of our world, the citizenry in this country. You know, he mentions the unions and of course the old dyed-in-the-wool Democrats that they can't see anything else. But they're going to vote Democratic. I don't care who it is. And there's a whole list of them there that he lists that we probably have never really listed them like this, and come to some conclusions. Now, number one, he says blacks will vote for Obama blindly, period. Doesn't matter what he does. It's a race thing. He's one of us. Now, I think he's pretty much on target there. He's a black man, but he's a rare one, and because he's a realist, and most of the black people out there are not realists. I'll guarantee you that. Number two, he says college-educated women will vote for Obama. Though they will be offended by this, they swoon at his oratory. It's really not more complex than that. When I first read that, I had to go back and read it again. Because I have seen some things in the last 2 years now, and since he's been president, that I found really hard to believe. But I know that it is true. I've got a nephew he's got a tremendous pension from one of the major companies, corporations in this country. And I would have thought that he would be, conservative, but he is not conservative. He's retired. He's got money in the bank, He can do what he wants to do. He's got all kinds of things going for him. And I think he's just downright proud of the fact that he is one that voted for Obama. And I'll tell you, I don't think the Republicans have got one single candidate in sight other than probably Ron Paul, but Ron Paul is going to be 76 years old, and that's not going to, you know, be an advantage for him. So then he lists number three, the liberals will vote for Obama. He is their great hope. Well, that we can understand that. Number four, Democrats will vote for Obama. He is the leader of their party, and his coattails will carry them to victory nationwide. Now, a lot of you out there are aware of the fact that there was a special election for a congressperson back in New York. That was on Tuesday, and it's a heavy Republican area, considered a very Republican area, and the Democratic woman, won the election. The Republican candidate didn't even come close. I mean, that Democratic candidate on Tuesday won that election handily. And, of course, I was aware of the fact that the Tea Parties, so many of them, and especially those that were elected in 2010, or 2011 or 9, I guess, is when the election was. But anyway, there's a bunch of them there that were able to jump in there and take control of the House, the Republicans, and they have been stumbling around, and they came out and they want to change the health care thing. They want to get rid of the health care thing that Obama come along with. And, of course, I think a lot of Americans agree with that. However, the Republicans, they went after Medicare. Well, that was a terrible, terrible Republican mistake, political mistake, I should say, to do that, and at least without some discussion and education. And that's what carried that Democrat in that district back in New York into the House in Washington, D.C. She's a Democrat coming from a very strong Republican area. And it was that one thing, just that one thing that ruined. And I'm sure that the lady that was running on the Republican ticket was probably a Tea Party person. But she picked up and tried to carry the water for the party in Washington, and it just didn't work. So I'll stop there. That was on number four. I'll let you say your piece now. You've got something to say, I'm sure.
Well, I have to open my mic back up to be able to talk. Can you hear me at all now?
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Well, I'm afraid everybody is. I hope you're the only one that's having trouble hearing me. I believe
that. It's not that bad right now, Terry, actually. Not that bad.
Well, Dwayne, since you're on with us, I've got a couple of things I'd like to talk with you tonight about. But to start with, how about you give us a response to what we've just said?
Well, I wasn't expecting this, but I would say that I think a lot of what Red said, I agree with, of course. And I've known Mr. Williams for years myself as I spoke to him once a few years back, but I think the thing here is that with the Tea Parties, if I might go in that direction, all the Tea Parties have been infiltrated. They have been commandeered, so to speak. I know people in this area here that have taken some excitement in the fact that Alan Keyes is coming. And I had explained to them that Keyes recently has backed down on the 9/11 stuff and won't talk about that anymore. So I don't know what's going on, but there's been a lot of change in that whole Tea Party movement. And I'm reluctant to put my gambling chips on any city's Tea Party movement anymore. I worked with a lot of them up in Maine or some in South Carolina. They're afraid to touch the right issues because their leadership has been pushing the right buttons to tell them to shut up and talk about that. So there's issues like that that just aren't getting out there because the Tea Party movement has been silenced in some of the smarter, shall we say, the more touchier areas as well.
Well, thanks, Dwayne. What I'm seeing is that, and there's a lot of articles out there right now about it, but the GOP, and let me qualify what I'm about to say. The establishment, the Republican National Committee, and those deep pocket people that really control the establishment of the GOP are really fighting against the Tea Party. And that to me just really shows that we don't really have a group of good, strong statesman type people controlling the GOP.
Right.
I mean, I've been saying for a long time that the whole left-right debate is really a farce. It's a smokescreen.
I think also that you've got, like you were saying, too, I think the bigwigs, the Fortune 500 CEO heads and everything else, they control this country a lot more than people think, which is why I think the Tea Party are failing, because they have the influence. They could go in there, they could send people in, and they could send in these really great moles that are trained to do exactly what they're doing, take over the Tea Party. Look what Glenn Beck has done nationwide. There's a lot of little guys doing it in a local sense, so it's the same thing. You've got corporations that don't want to lose their stranglehold on the American economy. They want to get all the dollars they can before it collapses, and they'll run to another country. They could care less about this country.
Well, I know here in Colorado that there was definitely infiltration, and right now they're trying to get the Tea Party groups and the 912 organized. Instead of being 16 or 18 different groups across the state, they're not trying to get rid of those groups. It's just that they're trying to put them under an umbrella of communication so that they can have a more powerful voice. And what they're finding is that some of the people that even the Tea Party voted into office here in Colorado, they're finding that they've got loyalties to the establishment, and that it's very, very difficult for the Tea Parties to hold them accountable, and that because they know that's not where their bread's really buttered. If
right.
they want to get anything, you know, if they want to get reelected, for example, they know that they're going to have to play ball with the GOP establishment. And that establishment is very different than the Tea Party and the attitudes and what the people of the state, across the state, really want. It's just really difficult to believe that even if the Tea Party were to put candidates in that they think they want, I believe they're kidding themselves if they believe that those candidates are really going to make that big of a difference once they get into office.
Mm-hmm.
And, Red, I know you've made this point a number of times about the vote at the ballot box not being the most important vote. But I'm sure you have something to contribute to that right now, so I'll let you jump back in.
Terry, I'm going to go back. I recovered the first four points here that that Walter Williams covered. He said, number one, votes blacks will vote for Obama blindly. Number two, college-educated women will vote for Obama. Though they will be offended by this, they swoon at his oratory. It's really not more complex than that. And then number three, liberals will vote for Obama. He is their great hope. And number four, Democrats will vote for Obama. He is the leader of their party, and his coattails will carry them to victory nationwide. Now, that's the first four. Now, here comes number five. Hispanics will vote for Obama. He is the path to citizenship for those who are illegal, and Hispanic leaders recognize the political clout they carry in the Democratic Party. Number six, union members will vote overwhelmingly for Obama. He is their key in power in business, state and local politics. Number seven, big business will support Obama. They have already have almost $1 billion in his reelection purse, gained largely from his connections with big business, and is gaining more every day. Big business loves Obama because he gives them access to take taxpayer money so long as they support his social and political agenda. I don't think any of us can argue with any point there. Number five, Hispanics will vote for Obama. I think most of us understand that. Number six, union members will vote overwhelmingly for Obama. We can understand that. Number seven is a little difficult because it says big business will support Obama. But after we've seen what we have happened in just the last two or three years, I think that we have to accept that is the way it is. And, of course, when they say that Obama already has over $1 billion in his reelection purse gained largely from his connections with big business, that's going to be a tough one to beat. Now, I've gone through 1 through 7, and I don't think anybody can argue with those assumptions on his part. I mean, this has such value because what he does, he lists all these things where usually we just think of them one at a time, and we've got people that are concentrated on the Hispanics, and others are after the union, they want right to work laws in all the states and all that kind of thing. But here's a list of all of these, and I'll tell you, you find it really hard to argue with his viewpoints. And so this came as a jolt to me because I just hadn't listed all these things like this, and now I've got it right in front of me. I got it in my hand, and so I can see all of this happening, and of course. I'll let you make some comments here, too, perhaps at this point. But we've got more to talk about with the Tea Parties after we get through this list of 10. And then we'll probably be referring back to this list after we get talking about the Tea Party people. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It took a second for my mic to unmute, and it seems to be fading in and out, even my volume is, so I'm having a little difficulty. The Tea Parties really represent a whole cross-section of our nation. I mean, it's not like these people would even all be in the same party with each other, except that they just don't like the two-party system, and they feel like they don't have control, and they're trying to figure out a way to get more control or to solve some of the problems that are going on. So they come together and they work on these things until they're frustrated or burned out. I've seen a lot of people, getting burned out. But when they really do start to have a voice in the political arena, they're finding that the candidates that they thought were on their side are giving them resistance and not really listening to them. It's almost like the courts not giving standing to any citizen on constitutional issues. The politicians are not giving standing to the Tea Party. So the Tea Party has to really be very, very vocal and find ways of getting the word out. And when they do, it turns into, I hate to use this word, but I'm going to use it anyway for lack of a better one, pissing match. And just for example, I ask a question of someone who's in a position with the Republican Party, and what was taking a lot of their time. And they told me that what was taking a lot of their time was putting out fires between various groups who should be agreeing with each other, who are battling each other. And that's really kind of what's going on out there. And in the meantime, we're getting bills passed and even proposed by people who are supposed to be conservatives that you would think were helping Obama. You know, setting up insurance exchanges, for example, which is a precursor to Obamacare. And that was actually put forth by someone who is in the Republican Party. It's really a very frustrating situation across our country right now. And I'm not sure how to solve the problem for the Tea Parties. And I certainly don't believe that another election is going to solve those problems. I think what's really got to happen is that the people who really believe in the Constitution have got to really start standing up and recalling some of these people. I think the recall process is something that's very important. I recognize that, Red, you know, that we can educate people on the fact that they've got the right to judge the law and try to get them to vote correctly in the jury box. But, you know, that's a long, drawn-out and fairly slow process across the country. And right now, we've got to do something to start holding these people accountable. And I'm not sure that the Tea Party's cutting the mustard on that. And one of the reasons is they can't even agree amongst themselves.
That's what I'm running into, of course, is that they're running in all different directions. And I think that a lot of that is because so many of the Tea Parties have been infiltrated by people that have just one thing in mind, and that is to destroy the Tea Parties. I don't know how many of these work for the government or for the Democrats or whatever, but I think there's been a lot infiltration by people that don't have the best interests of the Tea Parties, and they're, you know, they're just not that interested in the Tea Parties, other than to get, you know, get them all confused and running in all different directions, which they are doing. It is happening right now. I'll read the last three here, and then I'm going to make a comment about the Tea Parties and what I think is happening. Number eight, the media love him. They may attack the people who work for him, but they love him. After all, to not love him would be racist. Number nine, most other minorities and special interest groups will vote for him. Oddly, the overwhelming majority of Jews and Muslims will support him because they won't vote Republican. American Indians will support him. Obviously, homosexuals tend to vote Democratic. And lastly, approximately half of independents will vote for Obama. And he doesn't need anywhere near that number because he has all the groups previously mentioned. The president will win an overwhelming victory in 2012. There's 10 points there And I'm sure this is the first time that any of us have seen them all listed the way they are. And as we think of this, you know, what Walter Williams has done for us, it has really brought it to our attention, the divisiveness and such that we've got in the country, and the fact that we've got so many ethnic groups. We've got all different kinds of organizations, of course, that are involved, the unions, and of course the different organizations, you know, that there's just no end of them. Of course, the Democratic Party is the lawyers' party. And so you've got, you know, we've got some of the great minds of the legal profession are in the Democratic Party. And they don't really, they're not looking out for the best interests of our country, I'll tell you that. You know, so anyway, there's 10 of them there, and boy, it would be hard to argue with any of them. I have said from the very beginning that the Tea Party people, you have to feel sorry for them. You have to recognize, we have to recognize where they have been, where they come from, how did they get to where they are. 95% at least of them, I'm sure, are products of the public education system. They have been deprived. They have been shortchanged in their education, and they think that they are the best educated Americans we've ever had in this country. That is not the case, because too much of the education which they have been exposed to is politically, well, it's corrupt, politically corrupt, corrupt. The Ford Foundation and other big foundations have put many, many dollars and many, many years into the process of destroying our public education system to make it so that the system we have today, what we have today in our political system, is just exactly what those schemers, those outlaws that wanted to bring socialism, communism, or whatever. They wanted to destroy the middle class. They wanted to be the elite and the rest of us be their servants. We are where they wanted us. They are, I mean, they have been very, very successful in bringing our country down to a very low level at this point in time. These people, these Tea Party people, they have to learn about their three votes of the system, not just the one vote on election day. If you're spending all of your resources, your time, and your energy to getting somebody elected to the Congress and all, you're just spinning your wheels. You're not going to gain anything, because, and there's one thing here that Walter Williams didn't mention in the list, and that is vote fraud. And, of course, having run for governor in Montana, we saw just absolute unbelievable amounts of vote fraud in the state of Montana. Now, if it had been Chicago, you'd expect it, but not in Montana. And we had a county with that had about 10,000 people that went to the polls and signed in and cast their ballots. When the numbers were posted on who got how many votes in that county, there was over 11,000 votes that were counted. Somebody had been padding the ballot box. And when we tried to get the Secretary of State to address the problem, and we had a mass of evidence from all across Montana of this, you know, vote fraud, right in the state of Montana where that kind of thing is not supposed to happen. But it happened, and it happened big time. And it's something that Walter Williams didn't mention, because we know that when Obama was elected in different areas, there were people that voted several times. And there's probably some Republicans that did the same thing, but I don't really think that that's been a problem with the Republicans. Most of it has been on the Democratic side. And so there's another problem that probably should have been listed there, which would make a difference. You know, vote fraud, it's just gotten to be a big, big item in this country. So I would say that the Tea Party people are going to have to go back and learn some history. They're going to have to get a handle on the Constitution for the United States of America and what a great document it was. And what I had brought out on the Alex Jones show a week ago yesterday, I brought out how that I felt that the Tea Party people need to be they need to recognize that there's a high possibility that the federal god, or the, I call it the federal god, that it's going to go down. It's going to, they're going to default on some debts or whatever, but it's going to go down. And you remember when we had the attorney from up in Seattle, Steve Pidgeon, he came right out on this program and said that he anticipates the collapse and the death of the government that we have today. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we had a lady guest on this program, and she made the same statement. And I've been making this statement for several years, that the federal government is going to go down. It cannot survive its mistakes. And as a result, if it goes down, there will be that gang of outlaws, the so-called elitists. They will be just waiting for that to happen, and they'll move in and try to steal this nation from we the people in this nation. And so I think that the Tea Party people need to start thinking about how, well, I brought out how there's more of us than there is of those elite out there. They're just really a small group of people, but they have been able to con large blocks of people like the blacks and the Hispanics and all to do their bidding. But if it comes down to a point where these people don't have a government check coming in to buy their groceries and pay for their rent and all that kind of thing, you're going to see a massive change. You're going to see a lot of violence. You're going to see a lot of problems in this country until we can get it back on track. We need the Tea Party people. At this point in time, we need them to be studying the Constitution, studying how that it is, as far as I'm concerned, it is the greatest law ever written by a group of people who wanted to be free, who wanted to control their own lives and know what liberty and freedom are all about. I told them on that program they need to learn how valuable the Constitution is, and when these outlaws step into the picture and try to trash can that Constitution. There's a lot more of us than there is of them, people that want to save the Constitution. You're going to have a lot of these groups that Walter Williams talked about here. You're going to have a lot of them. They're not going to be involved. They're going to be out trying to find something to eat. They're going to be trying to solve some of their own problems, personal problems. They're not going to be much involved in restoring law and order in this country. In fact, it may be the opposite. And, of course, there may be a lot of bloodshed because a lot of these people don't have any amount of respect for life, and they have no respect for law or order or anything else. So there will probably be some pretty serious problems out there. So the Tea Party people, at this point in time, they shouldn't invest one more dollar. They shouldn't spend any of their energy, their effort trying to get people elected to the United States Congress in 2012 when this next election comes up. They need to be really checking on what can they do when this thing falls apart. And like I say, there is no question that the people that are supporting and have put Obama in office, those are the elitists that want to tear the place apart. They want to tear this country down. And so a lot of people out there don't think that can happen, but it can happen, and it will happen for the simple reason that our federal government has become a god. It's a false god. And we're in violation of the first commandment that we have in Exodus, the 20th chapter. And, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And that's God himself talking. And this is what we've done. The Supreme Court has basically said, thou shalt have no other god before the federal God. And so that's what brought down the USSR, and it's going to bring down this monster that we have today. But we have been so lax for so long. We have not paid attention. We have not been involved. We have not learned our history. We have not applied ourselves, to make things happen properly. We haven't used our grand jury vote hold these lawless gangsters that have gotten into such power, positions of power. We haven't used our grand jury votes to bring those people to justice. We haven't had our juries functioning properly. Just about everybody in this country knows that the 16th Amendment wasn't ratified, and that the income tax is a hoax in more ways than one. But when they get on a jury, they'll go along with the government, and the judge will lie. The judge will lie. The prosecutor will lie to the people on the jury, and the people on the jury don't realize that they are the power in that courtroom, not that judge, not that prosecutor. They are the power in that room. And this is something that we really have to work on. And I think the Tea Party people should be recognizing that the vote on Election Day is just a battle that there's no winners. There's no winner for us anyway in that. The Election Day votes aren't worth the paper they're written on. So I've gone too long here. I've gone to rambling too much.
Red?
Yes.
I don't want to. You always lift me back up. You always bring forth an optimistic view on so many things. But you were talking about Steve Pigeon a while ago. Well, I think Steve might have a little different take on things right now than he may have in the past, because what he's run up against now, he's been working with Leo DiNofrio on these dealership cases in federal court,
mm-hmm.
auto dealership cases, and the judges have absolutely shut them down, and they're in an appeal situation, and there was absolute fraud and interference with due process in the lower courts, and the appeal judges have completely ignored it and will not even let them bring their evidence forward and have accused them of being frivolous in the appeal and have actually sanctioned them. And my point is this. Pigeon may today feel the same way I do. I don't know that he does, but I feel that he might. And that is that our country, as far as our government is concerned, has already gone down.
Go ahead.
Because there's nobody to take them down. The judiciary and the courts, especially at the appeals level, is so corrupt that there's nobody there that will prosecute the real criminals. If the military was going to do it, you would think they would have already done it. But I'm believing at this point that there's only one of two ways that this government, that de facto government, this group that's running our country, I think there's only two ways that they're going to come down. One is the military is either going to do it or the people are going to do it. Because the Congress isn't going to do it. The Senate's not going to do it. We see what's going on with the Department of Justice. It's totally paid off and corrupt. How do we bring it down? How do you even put together an impeachment that's going to have any effect at all? I read something on a site just a little bit ago where there was a debate between two different patriots, and they kind of attacked each other. And maybe Kate might want to come over here and on here and talk about it. I don't know if she's in the back or not, but if she's listening, I wish she would come on here and talk about it, because some of the comments that were made were relative to how all three branches of our government are so broken. They're so broken and so corrupt that it's not even our government anymore. So the question is, what takes them down? I mean, I don't know. Because you can't enforce a presentment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let me answer that. I'm going to be real surprised if we don't have a food shortage in this country within this year. The weather calamities that have hit this country, and just since the first of the year. I'm quite familiar with what's going on in Montana. They haven't been able to plant their crops right. I mean, it's just raining constantly. Interstate 90 is flooded east of Billings, Montana, and it will be flooded for some time. It's going to take a while before that water goes down. They're getting rain and more rain, and a lot of the mountain ranges have 200% of normal snow, and it's still there. The snow is still sitting there. When I was living in Montana and we were in the Gallatin Canyon, we always watched because we said if the melt off in the spring gets started and the runoff comes down the river, by the 20th of May, if it starts before that, you're going to have a good orderly meltdown and runoff on the river. If it waits till after the 20th of May, watch out, because it's going to get real bad. And it hasn't started yet. It hasn't started yet. And here we are. We're well past the 20th. And so I think that food is going to be, you have all the stories in the Bible about famine. famine was used by our Heavenly Father to get the attention of a lot of people many, many times. And I really believe that it's going to be a factor in this country. And when it happens, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to just literally come unglued because they don't have any moral standards to live by or anything else. And if there's any reason why we should be finding a place of somewhat safety or other, it would be because we might need the protection from masses of people trying to, they're out there trying to scour the country looking for something to eat. You know, here was, we had the land of plenty. We fed a good part of the world and all of that, and now we've been brought down to a point where we can't even feed ourselves. And so I just think that that is the highest probability that we have to contend with in the future. I hate to say that, but I just think that that's what it's going to be. And I know that we've had enough tornadoes to get a lot of the people's attention. And, last night, right here where I'm at, it got down below 40 degrees. It was cold. It didn't freeze, but I'm sure there was plenty of frost around. You see, that body, it's a large body of cold air that is now moving east, because weather moves from west to east. What's going to happen when this cold air that we had here, most of our daytime temperatures this week are forecast for in the 50s. I think they only forecast 2 days in the next 7 days where we would hit 60. That is unheard of. It just doesn't happen. But what it causes is that cold air going to the east, and when it hits that warm, moist air in the Midwest, watch out, because that's more tornadoes.
How is that going to bring the government down without violence?
I think there will be violence. I think that's why I say that they have no moral foundation under them and such. They're going to do anything for food. And, of course, when the federal government... I have to disagree with Steve Pigeon. Yes, we've lost it. I mean, our government is gone, but the checks are still going out. So people are still getting their check, and, of course, they're going down to the supermarket and buying enough food to last them another day or so. When you think about it, now look what they had in Tunisia. Look what they had in Egypt. Look what they had in Romania back in 1989. The people hit the streets. I'm not sure why it hasn't happened here, other than that the public education system has dumbed people down so low that they just haven't got what it takes to understand what's happening to them, to comprehend what's happening to them. So they were smarter than we are in Tunisia and Egypt and these other places, and where the people take to the streets. It's vital. It's just absolutely vital that the Tea Party people, that they get this picture and start working right now to start getting a handle on the Constitution and how valuable it is, and what a tremendous law it is to create a new government. It was a great law that created a new government a little over 200 years ago, and it's probably, I hope, is going to be brought into creating a new government here in this country. I, I don't want to see that Constitution trash can. And if we get enough people to understand this, it doesn't have to happen. You know, if we've got enough backbone of people, and like I say, we're a majority. The elitists that have tried to bring us down to this level and such, they're a very small group of people. And it's just that they have so many people that have been hoodwinked, they've been deceived, and, you know, the War of Independence in this country was only supported by about 5% of the public, of the people. The others all sit on the fence, and we'll have a lot of fence sitters, and they're going to sit back and wait to see who wins. And so we know that we're going to have to do some work if we want to win this. I've spent too much time here rambling, probably.
Well, I don't apologize for that. Dwayne, are you still on with us?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts, too.
Okay, well, I kind of want to shift our thinking a little bit, although it's related to what Red was just talking about. First of all, I want to apologize. I've been trying to get in chat all night. I haven't been able to get into chat, so I can't see anybody's messages. If you've got a comment, please call in. I tried to get area code 662 live mic earlier, and they dropped off just as I was about to bring them into the conversation. So 662, if you're out there and you want to get in here for a comment or question, please call back in. We didn't mean to leave you hanging. We've been having a little bit of switchboard problem tonight. Red, I talked to you a little bit before, and this is what I want to bring Dwayne in on, because Dwayne is, I think he's a little bit familiar with the LNN, or what some people have called Nibiru, or this thing that NASA has labeled as a comet that a lot of people, and some of these people are fairly competent scientists, are saying that what they've observed from this body that's flying into our universe right now, that's within our solar system, they're saying that it could have upwards of a 2.5 Jupiter mass. They have seen that it has satellites in tow, perhaps as many as three that could be called moons. And there's a lot of concern that some of the earthquakes that have already happened in Chile and Japan might have been associated with that projectile coming into our solar system as it approached and lined up with other planets and the sun, that has been a factor in some of these earthquakes. I know that just a few days ago we literally had a global earthquake. The magnitudes were not, you know, at the 9 scale like it was in Japan, but there was a lot of 2.5 to up to 5 magnitude earthquakes all over the world at approximately the same time. So our bell is ringing pretty loudly. And as this object comes around the sun and comes between the Earth and the sun, which is supposed to occur beginning in August of this year, if that thing is a 2.5 Jupiter mass, we could see some tremendous Earth changes here. The whole layout of even the United States, for example, could change, like the Mississippi Valley could be widened out, and some of our coastlines could be literally destroyed, and we could have places underwater that right now is desert. These are real concerns by people who are not just a bunch of nuts that are gathering out at Area 51. We're talking about people who have photographed this and have observed it and pulled things down off of the websites. Google, for example, has blacked out. If you go to Google Sky, you'll find that Google has blacked out the coordinates where this object was observed. I mean, literally with telescopes was observed, entering into our solar system, and Google blacked it out. Now, what was the purpose of that? Why don't they want anybody seeing this? And there are shots of it that people have captured and are still put on the internet. There's talk that this is why some of the elites have been creating underground bunkers, because if they were aware, they knew some time ago that some of this was coming into our system and that these earth changes were imminent. And I'm just looking at a message here. This is probably from Stan in our chat room. He knows that I can't see his messages, so he's sending me text messages. Send me the link and I'll post it. Okay, I'll send you a bunch of links, Stan. Hold on. Point is, Dwayne, you're familiar with some of this, are you not?
Well, not so much the interplanetary things. I have studied quite a bit into what's going on with, of course, you and I have talked about HARP quite a bit and that activity. What I can say is this: if this is a situation where we're looking at a near miss, as some scientists would like to call it, coming up in August, the rain we're having, and Red, you were talking about it just as much as I've seen it lately, it's unbelievable amount of rainfall we're having over the entire Mississippi Basin and the Ohio River Basin. The Ohio River is a massive contributor to that. It basically starts here at Pittsburgh. And I've seen some mind-blowing things taking place along those lines, including right here in Pittsburgh. There's a lock that they've had the Corps of Engineers. I went there just yesterday and found them working on this lock, and the activity just didn't look normal. I went to take photographs of it, and my Android would not take pictures of it. There was a thing came up that said, Google will not let you take pictures, or something to that effect. I walked away, and the camera worked. Came back later, the camera wouldn't work again. So they don't want you taking pictures of the Army Corps of Engineers doing what they're doing, whatever they're doing at lock number 3 on that's the Allegheny River at that point. I don't know what all is going on, but somebody had made a suggestion about this planetary thing taking place in August. Is there not a possibility that if they believe that that's going to take place in August and it's going to be catastrophic, that they might be trying to get a jump start on it to save the planet? That's one thought.
Well, Dwayne, let me give some specifics on it, because August is just when it will come on our side of the sun.
Right.
It will begin to come between the Earth and the sun in August, and then in September it literally starts to line up with the sun, so that the gravitational pull is probably going to, you know, start getting much more severe in September. But then it begins to move its way out of our solar system, and it goes directly across the orbit of Earth. Now, the closest it's supposed to come to us, based on the orbit as it's been observed thus far, is about 22 million miles, which is about, for those that understand these terms, about 0.24 AU, or about just under one-fourth of the distance from the Earth to the sun.
Yeah, that's real close.
When it goes across Earth's orbit in front of Earth, in other words, Earth is headed off in the same direction that it is going to cross our orbit. But it's going to be almost at its closest point to Earth at that time. And then it will begin to move away from Earth and out of our solar system. But then Earth will go right across behind it, right through what could be its tail. And you need to realize that a 2.5 Jupiter mass, of course, when we talk about mass, some people equate that to size, but it's not really exactly size. And I'm not sure how these scientists and people that have been looking at it have come up with this calculation, but you know, because it really pertains to density, mass
right.
pertains to density. So they're saying that it's got 2.5 times the weight, if you will, of Jupiter. And if it comes within one-fourth of the distance of the sun, you know, it could cause us to wobble. It could mess up our orbit. It could change the moon, for example. it could be affecting other planets and their orbits as well. So there, we don't really know at this point, especially since it's being covered up and the government and NASA and these people are not telling us the truth. That much we're fairly confident of.
Right.
Okay, so it starts in August. It gets at the closest point to us, I think, in October, but it doesn't move out of our solar system until, like, the 1st of March.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a time frame here starting, you know, let's say late July and going all the way through February that this thing could be impacting us with earthquakes or geological changes, orbital changes, axis changes, magnetic field changes. We could be going through a debris field that might be trailing this thing. I mean, if it's got three satellites in tow, you know, heaven knows what's behind it. And not only that, but we don't know what the chemical makeup of this thing is. It could be, it could actually have an interaction with our sun. From the heat of our sun, if it comes around, it's going right now. It's going around our sun right now. It came into our solar system on the other side of the sun. It's now in an elliptic orbit coming around the sun and going to be shooting back out of our solar system. But while it's that close to our sun, it could change its chemistry. It could cause it, if it, let's say, for example, if it is a dwarf star, if it is a hot orb, it could be. We don't know. I mean, so there is so much right now. I mean, Dwayne, do you agree with everything I've said, or is there something that I've absolutely said that you think is not right?
No. I wouldn't take anything out of the words you said at all. It's just like anything else. It's these are all speculations based on scientists that I haven't met. You shall know them by their fruits. I can't guarantee any single one of these scientists have it right. To take it one step further, which is actually where I was headed, think about this. There are so many variables involved in trying to establish what the truth is. None of us have observatories in our backyard. None of us also have the scientific education to be able to calculate what's going on once we do have the observations. The bottom line is we have to trust probably a half dozen scientists that we've never met as to what's really going on. I would say that's as much credulity as trusting Glenn Beck, David Rockefeller, and Zbigniew Brzezinski in what they're predicting for the world wonderfulness that's going to come with the New World Order. So all I'm saying here is, knowing that, yes, there might be some scientists that sound great, so does Glenn Beck. He sounds great to some people. The bottom line is this. There's only one person. You and Red, we've talked about this many times, the pecking order. There's only one being in this entire universe that understands what's going on. The U.S. Geological surveys that I saw working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers yesterday, my father knows what's going on. My camera didn't work. I said, okay, it's up to you, Father. The key point here is if they are triggering a massive earthquake in the New Madrid fault line, if they are triggering the ones that took place in Japan, if they're doing all these things intentionally, is it a matter of a fighting amongst themselves? Is one family fighting against another? We don't know these things exactly for sure. We know the Black Dragons are supposed to be involved. Benjamin Fulford says this. The way I'm looking at the overall picture is there are so many things, and then we found another thing I just yesterday, that there are so many nuclear reactors going on right now that are up and running on this New Madrid fault line. Who's to say that they can't all at once go off like the Fukushima ones are to such a degree that you know, that's going to be an absolute mess. We've got so many different variables right now. The point is this, and I think Red would agree with me, and Jerry, both of you would definitely agree. We have to understand that, just like you said before, we don't have standing to approach this problem in detail. We don't have standing to approach that problem in detail. The bottom line is, we get to this point where there's so many different variables that we don't have standing in. it's out of our hands almost. This is why I would say, in a kind of a humorous way, the father knocked down Dagon, did he not? And broke the nose and what have you, and got a kick out of doing that. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, we could get the father to knock down, well, shall we say, the next fellow that thinks he's going to get into office again and break his nose, so to speak. We could easily get honesty back in the voting machine if the father is watching over for us. And, of course, you guys know I don't have to go there. I don't have to preach to you guys, but anyone that might be listening. And I'm just saying this just as a precursor to what I was going to say here, though. The bottom line is, if the father's being called into these circumstances first, and he's to guide us into what's most important and how to react, and if the Tea Party's to do the same, even just a small percentage of them, we would see a miraculous change in success rates. The bottom line here, though, is very simply, we've got a great apostasy going on in this country right now and worldwide. And do we have any recourse to repair that? That should be first in our hearts. I know between us it is. There's a lot of people out there in these Tea Parties, they don't want to hear that part. Oh, I'll talk about religion someday when I'm ready to die. Right now we've got to fix this country. They don't understand the seriousness of it. So when I see these planets and the meteors, the comets, there's all kind of activity going on out there that we can't really say for sure what's going to happen, how they're going to interact. I hear the Planet X thing almost every day from people. My Father in Heaven knows what's going on. And when it's so far out of the realm that we can't physically see it ourselves, we can't examine it for ourselves, it's outside of our own stewardship duties. That's where these types of things are so far out of our own stewardship duties that I would say that's the kind of thing you definitely just simply put it in the Father's hands and you say, Father, whatever happens, happens, it's up to you. Things like what Red's talking about with getting the grand juries back in place properly and the different things of that nature, yeah, that's something we can do. That's earthbound stuff that we can see, feel, touch, and work on. But all that stuff out in the planetary system, it's so far out of the reality world up for us, I can't examine it myself to see what the truth is. So I have to put that stuff in Father's hands. And that's why I just tell people that my opinion in that case is pray. But Proverbs 28:9 says, first. If you're not following the commandments, your prayers will be an abomination. You've got to make sure you're following the commandments. You've got to make sure the Father is first in your pecking order, in your home, in your church, in your school, in your community, in your town, and in your nation. If you're not working in other directions to get the Father to allow the Messiah as your advocate to come in and stand, so you have standing in all these areas, it's not going to do any good. But yeah, so where we can contribute stewardship roles and duties and add input to help create, educate, and bring the full truth forward, yes, we can do that. In the scientific realm where only a dozen people may understand what's going on, we're going to definitely put all that in the Father's hands and just pray and expect the best.
Well, Dwayne, thanks for your comments, and I really appreciate you kind of helping us out a little bit tonight, especially with all the technical difficulties. I'm finally into the chat room. I feel like I'm not blind anymore, but this situation, I find it intriguing. That's an understatement, because think about what Red was talking about. Think about what's going on with the Tea Parties. Think about the fact that it's almost we're going to be forced by these Luciferians, really, and these eugenicists that are running our country right now. We're going to be forced to take dramatic action in order to get back our republic, to get back to any kind of de jure government. It's not going to happen through any kind of normal means. It's really like I've been talking about from our economic condition. It is not a normal business cycle or a normal economic cycle that we're in. This is a created thing that their policies have deliberately brought upon us. I mean, they knew that they could only keep expanding it so long. They knew that it was going to eventually, that they were going to eventually crush the wealth and the economic power of the middle class of America. And it's by no accident that they installed, just like they've installed every president for the last 50 years, they installed Obama to do some of the things that he's done. We think he's stupid. I think he's following instructions, and he's doing a fairly decent job of it, except when he makes them mad, and that happens occasionally. They get pretty frustrated with some of his stupidity. But then, you know, he doesn't have experience at doing this sort of thing. He's never managed anything in his life. But here we are. We've got this massive body that's flying through our universe, through our solar system, and it could create crisis at a level that we've never seen in our known history. And if it does, you can bet that these people are going to take advantage of it. If it killed off a third of us, they wouldn't care. They don't care about us now. The only thing they care is how they can enslave us. So here we are looking at all of this happening, and they're hiding the information of what could be coming at us with these possible Earth changes. That all plays into this. We've got to be prepared. We've been trying to tell people that they need to have food supplies and water and ready for whatever comes at them right now, and now all of a sudden it's much worse than we ever said it could be. And we could be looking at a situation approaching in just a matter of months that could wipe out a third of the people on the face of the earth. Well, I was talking to Red earlier today about this, and said, Red, if this does happen, what should we do? Should we go find our own hole to hide in? And of course, if you got earthquakes going on, underground might not be the best place to be. You might not ever get out of there. You might be buried right there or crushed there, no matter what you've got. You could be 100 feet underground and not survive it, even if it's, if we're going through and getting pummeled by debris after we cross after this thing, if the earth is still, if we're still in a situation where we can even be here to worry about it at that time. But Red's comment was very similar to yours, Dwayne, and I'm going to let Red come in here. Red's comment was, maybe we shouldn't be looking for a hole to hide in. Maybe we should be getting on our knees and trusting in our Creator.
Amen.
Red?
Well, I had not seen anything much on that comet or whatever they call it. But it doesn't surprise me. I anticipate that kind of thing happening. Because before Christ ascended into heaven, his apostles were asking him a lot of questions. And you go to Matthew 24:25, they asked him, they said, when are you going to return? What are the signs that are going to happen, that you're getting ready to return? And he told them, he said, it's going to be the worst time on planet Earth that there's ever been. There's never been a worse time coming than what we've had in the past on this planet. And so I've referred to that a number of times, I think, on the program here, how that we aren't there yet. We're not in that worst time. We've still got a lot of great things happening for us, and we can still buy all the food we need and all that kind of thing. But there's going to be massive change. And what this is going to do, you see the elitist, the Rockefellers and their gangsters and what they've got planned, they're going to find out that they don't have any amount of power at all compared to the power of our God of creation. Their power, they're going to be brought to the point where they're going to recognize that they don't have the power to make the changes that they want, that they'd like to do, that there's a higher power. And so we don't know what it's all going to be, how it's all going to come about, but we do know that it's going to be worse than anything that has ever happened on our planet. And there's been some bad times. There's been some, massive amounts of murder. Alexander Solzhenitsyn says that 60 to 65 million Russians were murdered by their own countrymen. And it happened there, and that type of thing can happen right here. I don't know if it will. I think that the people in Tunisia and Egypt were smarter than we are in this country, probably. They did put up with a tyranny for a long time. But in this country, the people are so used to this tyranny, they haven't identified it as a tyranny. Nobody's mentioned it earlier. I think we need to remember that Cicero, the great orator of the Roman Empire, about 2,000 years ago almost, he said when people, he was talking about a democracy, and is when people learn that they can vote themselves benefits from the public treasury, that system will not survive. And there's been a lot of people in these 2,000 years since Cicero that have said the same thing. That when people discover they can vote themselves benefits from the public treasury, well, what have we got in this country? Walter Williams, he is talking about all these different people, different groups. The first one was the blacks will vote for Obama blindly, period. We can understand that. And of course it says college-educated women will vote for Obama. We can understand that, too, when we stop and recognize what they're being taught in these colleges. Liberals will vote for Obama. Democrats will vote for Obama. The Democratic Party has been buying votes with taxpayers' money for all my lifetime, especially since Franklin D. Roosevelt in the 1930s. Hispanics will vote for Obama. We can understand that. And those people have come into this country, and most of them are illegals. And they've got some tough days coming, I'll guarantee you. Union members will vote overwhelmingly for Obama. They want the government to back their demands on industry and on those who create jobs. And it's a big, a big problem with our economy right now, because a lot of people don't want to invest in any kind of a business where they would have to have a problem, would have a problem with union power. And of course, one of the surprises, big business will support Obama. They already have. And here they're putting up all these bucks right now for his campaign, re-election campaign. Says almost $1 billion in his re-election purse right now. And that just doesn't seem possible. And big business is where most of that money comes from. And, of course, number eight, the media love him. The media had, they were probably most responsible for us getting him back there in that last election. They decided that he was going to be the Democratic candidate, and then they decided that to ensure that he would be elected, they had to find the weakest Republican candidate they could find and then promote him to the point where he would be nominated as a Republican candidate. When that all happened, I could see through that. I could see what they were doing. McCain got beat so bad in Michigan in the primary there and he was out of money and everything else. But the press started blowing all this smoke about him, what a great guy he was. And they seen to it that he had enough money to get to New Hampshire, and he won. And he went all the way to getting the Republican nomination. And, you know, those of us that watch these things, we could see through that and see and understand very well what had happened, you know, to get Obama elected. And, of course, number nine, most other minorities and special interest groups will vote for him. That's not hard to figure out, because the these are people that have their hands out, and they're being financed, they're being kept alive, you might say, by the handouts from the government. Number 10, approximately half of independents will vote for Obama, and he doesn't need any more anywhere near that number, because he has all the groups previously mentioned. The president will win an overwhelming victory in 212. And I would hope that, you know, this needs to be put into some kind of a pamphlet or something, and it needs to be put in the hands of all the Tea Party people out there across the country, so that they recognize that this voting for people on election day and thinking that they're going to regain control of our government with your vote on election day, that's just wishful thinking, and it won't work. So I've said too much tonight, I guess, but when I read this on email yesterday, I had to go back and read it again, and because I think Walter Williams, of course, I've read enough of his stuff over the years. I pretty well know where he's coming from. And as I told Terry earlier today, Walter Williams has always been, reality is very important to him. He's always realistic in what he says. And this is a perfect example of it. And I think that people need to have this list that they can go back and look at it again and again and again, because, most people, they're anti-union or they're anti-media or whatever. They don't recognize that there's a whole gang. 10 of them are listed here, and as I said, it doesn't list the vote fraud, which is going to be a major item again. They're going to, those people out there that want the government to keep them in food and housing and everything else, they're going to go out and they're going to vote two or three or four times. Obama's old outfit, Acorn, they'll be out there busy, showing people how to vote more than once. And so it's going to be a big item. And, of course, Walter Williams hasn't mentioned that here. That was my contribution to it. And so I don't know how we got through this 2 hours the way we did, but it's almost two hours now. And I hope we've caused some people out there to think and stop and think, and do some analyzing. And are we right or are we wrong? Is Walter Williams right? I'll tell you, I'm convinced he's right. And there were some other things he could have listed, but he listed enough there to prove to me that the Republicans will probably want to run another very weak candidate so that Obama will win a second term. And that's that's something that we'll have to contend with when it happens. But our Heavenly Father, as he's watching over us, and it's going to be a time when we're going to have to put our trust in him, because there will be no place else to put trust. It'll be just in our Heavenly Father. And so I like the last prayer in the Bible, the last two verses in the book of Revelations. Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's the prayer we all have to pray. And with that, I'll quit for the rest of the night here.
Well, Dwayne, in just a few minutes, if you're still with us, I'd like to ask you to close us in prayer, and I'd like to give you maybe at least 3 or 4 minutes to do that. I think we need that tonight. I appreciated Red opening us up when the show started, because I didn't get to listen very much because I was working on all the technical stuff going on. But let's see who's trying to get my attention here.
I'd be delighted. I'd be honored to work with you. And Red, what a legend you've been too, Red. I've heard your name mentioned quite a few times just this week alone. Alex Jones mentioned you twice this week that I heard. So you're a legend in this country, my friend. Heavenly Father.
Well, Red. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Heavenly Father. Father, you control this universe. You control everything from the largest mass body to the tiniest little net. Father, nothing happens unless you give it permission to happen. You speak a word, you wink an eye, and the universe will change. Father, we are very unworthy. Be passengers in your universe. We're very unworthy, Father, to have a government that would treat us as your son would. Father, the government would be upon your son's shoulders. That's what we all hope for. That's what we prayed for. Father, we know that in prophecy there's still confusion. We're not sure what's coming next. We do know, Father, that it's not going to be pretty from the way it looks. What we want to do, Father, here at this point, is to beg you, Father, to understand that there are some of us who are seeking your will, your guidance, your thoughts, your instruction, that we might usher in your glorious kingdom. Father, we understand this is most likely your grand finale of wrath coming our way against a nation that truly deserves it. This nation truly has tempted you, Father, to do what you're doing. Father, we want to thank you. There are some of us that understand this and see it. Father, we ask that you would bring enough of us together that we might make a quorum for you. We might pull together just enough that you might find us worthy of a small jurisdiction, of a remnant that is worthy of your attention. That you might teach us what it is you'd have us do in these last moments. Father, we all know that this is almost inevitable, that you are about to send your son. Call it a day for us. Father, we thank you then. That as he comes, knowing that he's coming as a thief in the night, that you have given us the peace of mind and the peace of our hearts to see the truth of these things, so that we might feel the salvation that you have brought upon us as the elect. Father, don't let us stop even for a moment, that we might encourage more and edify each other all the more as we see these days approaching, that we might stand for you, for the glory of your kingdom, that it might come, and as Red said, come soon, very soon. We ask this in the name of your Son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Mashiach, in the power of your Holy Spirit, upon all those on this call who love you and this nation, who, yes, Father, once loved you, that we might turn it around at least one more time. It would be wonderful. But Father, your will, not ours.
Again, we thank you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Red, any final thoughts tonight?
No, I've said enough. It's been a kind of a program where we really didn't know how we were going to do it. But I think that there'll be others out there that probably sense some of the gravity of our situation as we have brought it out here this evening. And till next week, we'll continue on. We'll be keeping our nose on the grindstone, trying to do what God would have us to do.
Well, Red, I appreciate you so much. Thanks, Dwayne, for joining us tonight. And I appreciate your prayer very much, Dwayne. We will see you all next week on Balls in Our Minds.
Good night.
Good night.
Body's new.